In show business, Rita Moreno is one of the rare artists to have seemingly done it all. A multi-talented performer and winner of the Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony Awards, Moreno was recently honored at the Kennedy Center for her lifetime of artistic achievement and perseverance over a long career on stage and screen. As a young Puerto Rican immigrant in Hollywood, she fought for screen roles and against stereotyping throughout the 1950s, making an indelible mark for her portrayal of a character very close to her own experience, Anita, in Robert Wise's 1961 film adaptation of West Side Story. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Rita Moreno's performance in West Side Story would garner her an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress, and Moreno's performance was an integral part of the film's success. Today, we conclude my conversation with Rita Moreno, recorded live on the stage of the Plaza Theater on August 1st, 2013, before a screening of West Side Story.
In that midst, one of those exotics, one of those natives you get to play, is in The King and I, 1956, and you meet Jerome Robbins.
I meet Jerome Robbins, the genius choreographer who did all of the choreography for the Broadway production of The King and I. He just did only, for that movie, he did only the choreography. But again, you know, as lovely as the part was, I was still playing someone with an accent, and it drove me nuts. And the film got a number of awards. It did terrifically well. It was a great film. It was a brilliant movie. The important thing that happened there, which is, I think, what you're getting at, I met Jerome Robbins many years later when he was, he had already done West Side Story on the stage, and now they were going to make a film of it. And he knew me because of The King and I, and he suggested to his co-director, Robert Wise, who, by the way, later on directed The Sound of Music, he said, we should see Rita Moreno. She might be good for the part of Anita. And I went in and I auditioned just like everybody else. I tried out for the singing. That went well. I tried out for the acting part. And we did the scene from the candy store. And that went really, really well. And then Jerry Robbins came over to me. He said, now, okay, you have to do an audition for the dancing part. He said, because if you can't cut the dancing, you don't get the part. And he says, really, I want very much to have you in this movie, but first you have to prove to me that you can do my steps. And his stuff was really complicated. Well, at that time, I swallowed hard because I hadn't danced in years and years and years. And I was a Spanish dancer, which is a whole nother thing from the kind of dancing that you will see in this movie. It was called jazz. Some people call it modern dancing, but it was certainly not flamenco or bulerias or any of that. It was completely different. I ran to a dancing school and signed up for every class that I could for a whole month. He told me I had a month before I had to audition. And I took up ballet and I took up jazz, a lot of jazz classes, and I worked my booty off. And I can tell you that I worked so hard because I was there all day long. I don't know where I got the money to do this. Maybe my mom helped me, because these lessons were expensive. I worked so hard that in one person's class, the teacher after the class said to me, I don't want you back in my class anymore. And I said, oh, God, why? And she said, because you work so hard that you turn a funny shade of purple. And she said, I'm afraid something bad's going to happen to you, and I don't want it to happen in my class. And I remember going to the bathroom, the ladies' room, and looking in the mirror, and sure enough, my face was the color of an eggplant. It had, in other words, it had gone beyond red. And I worked so hard that I would raise a fever. I would get goosebumps, like when you have a fever, but you're still very hot, but you're cold.
Chills.
I mean, I had chills. So, I mean, I can only attribute to my surviving that to my great stamina. I'm really rather a strong person. I have a lot of stamina because I don't know how I survived that. So a month later, they called me in. And let me tell you what an audition is like, a dance audition. You come in, and it's not like when you do a singing audition. When you do singing, you bring in a song that you know and like and that you know you perform well. And if you're acting, they give you the scene in advance, and you can memorize it. You can go to an acting teacher and try to get that down really well. Dancing, they teach you the steps, then and there. And you then have to put them together, and you do the steps very slowly, putting them together, and then at a certain point, the person who's teaching you these steps will say, now do it at tempo, with style and with energy and vivacious. That's very scary. And I was holding my breath. So before I went to the audition, I called a girlfriend who had played Anita on the road company of West Side Story. And I said, can you help me? I don't know what to do. So she said, I will teach you a section of America, and I will teach you a section of the Mambo at the gym. But she said, I can't guarantee you that what I'm going to teach you is what they're going to teach you at the audition. It might be other steps. So I said, well, teach me anyway in case I get lucky. I went in there with my heart in my throat, scared to death. And the dance director, not Jerome Robbins, came to me, took my hand. He says, okay, did you bring your full skirt? Because it was going to be a lot of skirt stuff. Yeah, put it on. And then he began to teach me the steps that my girlfriend had taught me.
She's not just strong, she's smart.
Then we get to the dance at the gym, the Mambo at the gym, and I'm thinking, oh God, please, please, let it be what I learned. And it was. So here's the wonderful upshot of this story. As soon as I left the studio, Jerome Robbins called the dance director who was teaching me the steps, and he said, I hope it's good news because I really would like to hurt in my movie. And the dance director said to him, you know, she needs some work. I have a feeling she hasn't danced in a while. But he said she's very vivacious and she has a great sense of humor and she has style and energy. But he said, I'll tell you what really impressed me. He said, she learns so fast. And I got an Oscar and a Golden Globe. What a story, huh?
That's what they say, practice, practice, practice. The stakes couldn't have been higher. After a decade of playing Polynesians and Indian maidens and every other type of exotic.
Now I'm playing a real girl.
You get to play a Puerto Rican, and not just a caricature.
No.
But one that you can just unleash all that's been pimped up in you.
All that's been sitting in me for so many years. And that's why the candy store scene, when she goes to try to save the day, she tries to warn Tony, and the Jets begin to maul her. It's called, we used to call it the rape scene, the almost rape scene. And it took a whole week to film that scene, just that one scene. Because it's choreographed, believe it or not, you know, when they're pushing me around, all that's choreographed, and it was set to music. And they were calling me these terrible names, Spick, you know, Garlic Mouth, Pierced Ear, Bernardo's pig, Bernardo's tramp. And I have to tell you, I hadn't realized that all those years of being called bad names, the hurt had never really left me, and there was a very thin scab. And with those boys, even though I knew them and we were friends, these were the Jets, after we did the last take, I sat down on the candy store counter, put my head on my arm, and started to cry uncontrollably. I could not stop crying. And those kids felt so bad. They said, oh, Rita, you know we love you. You know we're just acting. Oh, my God, the audience is going to hate us. Rita, it's, you know, really, we love you. I couldn't stop crying. These are wounds that just stayed for so long. And I couldn't even tell the story up until a few years ago without still getting tears in my eyes. Wow. The hurt, those hurts are so deep, you know, the wounds are so deep. So, you know, P.S., that's the scene that got me the Oscar. I know it. And the
I
awards,
think so.
Because it was a very strong scene.
Now, when you watch it, you see that authenticity. It's just right there. You were...
Oh, yeah. When I watched that scene, I still, you know, I sort of... You know,
it's hard to watch.
When they're pushing me around, I still... It's hard for me to look at it.
You know, we look up here on this huge screen and see all this assertiveness and your talent. And we think, well, that's someone who's really got it together. And to read your book and know how fragile you still were and this movie did for you, what that part, what those accolades did for you. What's fascinating, though, is what I think really brought you around is what your community did for you.
Oh, you want me to tell that story?
Yes, I think so. Because, you know, it's one thing to have actors say...
You will love this story. Even if you're not Latino, you will love this story. Up until the time West Side Story came out, I'd had very little communication with the Hispanic community. And I often wondered as an actress, why don't I get any fan letters for my people? And they were very sparse. You know, I'd get maybe three or four every 2 or 3 months, something like that. I would get other fan mail, but not from my community. And I never could understand that. And I thought, well, maybe they don't like what I'm doing. And then I finally understood that the Hispanic community, particularly at that time, it wasn't in the culture. You did not write fan letters. They just didn't, because it wasn't part of our culture. So that's why I never heard. And I thought, well, I guess they don't think of me very much. Then, here's the story they opened my eyes that I love, which made me cry when I heard it. Liz Torres. Do you remember Liz Torres? She's a comedian. Anyway, she's Hispanic and she's Puerto Rican. She told me that she, the night of the Oscars, she was living in the barrio in New York City. And that normally the barrio is a very noisy place. You know, I'm a noisy Puerto Rican. We are. Most of us, we talk loud, we laugh loud, we cry loud. And she said when the actor Rock Hudson came up to announce the nominees for the best featured actress in a movie, she said suddenly that whole neighborhood, that entire barrio, buildings and buildings, with the windows open because it was a very hot night, became absolutely silent. She said you could hear a pin drop, which is unheard of in the barrio. So he called out the names of the nominees for Best Actress, and she said that when my name was called out as the winner, the entire neighborhood went crazy. They were screaming out the window, "She did it! She did coño se la comió! She did it! She did it!" And, you know, they were yelling and shouting out the windows at each other. And I realized then that what they were really saying was, "We did it. We did it. One of our own did it." When she told me that story, I finally understood why I had never heard, but I cried. And I couldn't tell this story till about a year ago without just getting tears in my eyes, because it means so much to me. My connection to my people is so important to me, and that's why I'm so glad you're here today. Thank you for coming.
This is truly a Hollywood treasure and a living legend. Rita Moreno, everyone.
I've been discussing the making of Robert Wise's 1961 film adaptation of West Side Story with one of the film's biggest stars, Rita Moreno. Moreno would win the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress for her portrayal of Anita in this groundbreaking musical, and the preceding was recorded live on the stage of the Plaza Theater on August 1, 2013, before a screening of the film. Rita Moreno was recently honored at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., and you can stream the broadcast at cbs.com. For part one of my conversation with Rita Moreno and an extended version of this program, log on to ktep.org. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.